1 Peter chapter 1, and let's read verses 23 till the end of the chapter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 to 25. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Looking at suffering and in the book of 1 Peter, and specifically suffering of the believer, and specifically in the first chapter, he deals with the subject of who we are, our identity. So the identity of the believer is that we are chosen, that we are begotten to a living hope, that we are begotten to this inheritance, it's uncorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, to a joy. We're a joyful people. We are a New Testament people, having greater understanding than Old Testament folk. We're a redeemed people, redeemed and as a child of God. And then we're a loving people, as we looked at last week. We're a people who the Lord says, hey, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. You have love one toward another. And so today, though, we go to this last point in this chapter, and that is the concern is here the word of God. And the blessing is that the word of God itself is something that does, that is an encouragement to us, because that we are the people of the word of God. And you say, well, what do you mean we're the people of the word of God? Well, those that know the Lord as their Savior have been given a perception and understanding of the word. The word was sown. We remember the parable of the sower and the seed, where that Jesus said, hey, there's this, the seed was being sown, and it was sown on different kinds of ground. You know, the parable, how did it went, that there was the stony ground, and there was the thorny ground, and there was the wayside ground, and then there was the good ground. And so on all these different grounds, the seed is sown. Seed is sown, and it tells us, Jesus told us that the seed was the word of God. And as the word of God was sown, the seed of the word of God was sown, in each of these places there were different results. And the results were, other than the good ground, were failing results. They were not results that proved to be beneficial, that proved that a true plant was flourishing and could grow and could continue. But in the good ground, where that the ground had been prepared, then the plant would grow, the seed would germinate, it would grow. And so it is with those who know the Lord, that God, by His working within our hearts and our lives, He works within us, even though the seed of the gospel and of the word of God is sown to indiscriminately. Yet there's only certain that receive it, and that receive it to their salvation. And so that parable was a parable that spoke about the word being the seed. And here we find in 1 Peter the word being the seed again. We see that is the expression here. That's the metaphor that's used in description of the word. And so he just got through telling us that we've purified our souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. So we've come to know the Lord as our Savior. Our faith and our hope is in God, according to verse number 21. And we've purified our souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. And then verse number 23, being born again. So here's these same people, folk that have been born again, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. So the Word of God is this seed sown now. And so we find that it's like a seed sown. So we read about it today, and we're going to think about the people of the Word, how that we are the people of the Word of God. The Word of God helps the believer endure all kinds of affliction, and we'll see how so is basically the message today. How so? How is it that the Word of God helps us as believers to endure trouble, affliction, sorrow, trouble, trials as God's people, suffering as God's people? Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go further. Lord, we need your help today. We stand in need of, Lord, strength and of the ability to bring the message here in such a way that it will be beneficial to each one of us. And we just pray that your word might have free course and be glorified. We know, Lord, your word is powerful, it's quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It can accomplish great things like a hammer, breaks the rock in pieces. It's like a fire, Lord, that can burn and we just can consume all the dross. And we just pray that you might bless that as your people that we'd be growing in grace and the knowledge of the truth, and that we might desire the sincere milk of the word, that we might grow. And just cause, Lord, that as we look into the Word today, that it might have its appropriate fruit in our lives as we are the people of the Word of God. And we just ask your blessings now as we think upon that and we think about on what the Word of God is to us. We just pray that you'd encourage us in our suffering, in our difficulties day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. So, still looking at suffering and who we are. Peter seems to point out, as he's dealing with suffering of suffering saints, he is encouraging, seeking to encourage them. And one of the ways he encourages them is by mentioning the fact that in my definition of this of these verses, or three these three verses, he's mentioning the fact that we are the people of the Word of God. That these folk that have been born again were born again by an incorruptible seed that lives and abides forever, and that causes that they live and abide forever, and it causes that they are, because it's so powerful and so strong in delivering us and keeping us, that it is something that we as the people of God can trust. We should live according to the Word of God, live by the Word of God and its encouragement, its promises that are given unto us. First of all, verse 23 says, when we're thinking about the Word of God, how does it help us as believers to endure different types of affliction? Well, first of all, it's the seed that conceived us. It's the very seed that conceived us, that brought about our conception. You might call it germination if you're dealing with plant life. If you're dealing with animal life, you're talking about conception. And so it's the seed that conceived us. Verse 23, being born again. So now here he's not talking about plant life. He's talking about animal life. He's talking about human life, particularly here. And he says, we've been born again. And how were we born? Well, we were not born by a corruptible seed, by a kind of a seed, or by some method, if you will, or some means in which that we were brought to a certain condition, but then it fell off and didn't really continue. Something, it died, or it fell away. Like the seed that was sown, like the seed by the wayside, something came and picked it up and took it away. Or like the seed that was on in the stony ground, the plant didn't endure because there wasn't any nourishment there. Or like the thorny that got choked and it couldn't continue. And so he said, hey, we're born again in a different way than any of those things wouldn't continue. He says, we've been born, but we've been born by this incorruptible seed. And so the seed is what is the means of our conception, of being brought to this life, being brought to life by the Word of God, the Scripture is saying here. So the Word of God was that message that we heard, which you'll get into here a little bit later. But it's that message of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we heard that opened to us an understanding of the Word of God. And so he says, being born again, that's what we're born again by that incorruptible seed, not a corruptible seed. It's incorruptible, meaning that it does not tarnish, that it does not wear out, that it does not rust, that it does not corrupt. You go looking at different things in the stores, and you find, especially if you go thrift shopping, you find in the thrift stores, you'll see some things, you say, hey, there's something that's brand new. And you say, hey, that's brand new. So that's something that has a certain value. And then there's other things you think, you know, why would they even put this on the shelf? It's so worn out, totally worn out. And so because things in this world do corrupt and they wear out. And so he said, hey, that isn't what happens with the Word of God within an individual. That isn't what happens when a person is saved by the grace of God and the Word of God is what has conceived them, brought them to life. It doesn't die away. And so he's saying it's incorruptible in verse number 23. And then verse 23 also says that it continues and it continues in us. In verse number 23, he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, why does he reference here the fact that the word of God lives and abides forever? How does that connect to what he's saying about the individual? Well, if the very means of our life, what has given us life and sustains our life, is in fact the Word of God, the seed, then it's us that are sustained. Then it is our soul that is sustained. We are sustained ourselves. And so the fact that he would use this passage and use a passage of Scripture in the Old Testament that says, hey, the Word of God lives and abides forever, that it doesn't ever pass away, that the Word of God is here, we have it, and it doesn't pass away. It continues on. But how does that relate to me? It's that I am a person of the Word. The Word of God has been planted within me. It is a seed that has been sown, that's given, that's brought about a new life, that's brought about a new creation, and that I'm a new creature, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, the Scripture says, Romans 8:10. But here we see Peter says that this seed, it continues, it abides forever. And then verse number 24, he says, for all flesh is as grass. He says, we before we were saved, and everybody else in this world, there's a sense in which that before we were born again, we were like grass. And like grass, in what way? It withers. Grass withers. Grass eventually dries up and gets dry and withers and gets crisp. It's no longer full of life. Vitality is gone. The leaf is gone. And it dies. That portion of it dies. And so he's saying, hey, it's like life. If wintertime comes or a drought comes, and the trial of a drought dries it out and kills it. So that's the way human life is. Not human life, biological life, but human life spiritually or morally. And that is that we are prone to being somewhat good early and get worse. People are prone to getting worse. They're prone to departure and not renovation and not coming to the Lord and getting better. People are prone to continue to get worse. They may get more religious in a self-righteous sense, but they're prone to continue to get worse. And so we're naturally, we're kind of like grass. We have a tendency to wither, is what he's saying here. And then he says, in verse number 24, he says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass." He says, hey, the flower of grass, the flower, the scripture says, the grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away. He says it withers, the grass withers, the flower falls away. The flower is eventually going to fall away. The flower of the plant eventually just, it dies, it's gone as well. And so what is the flower? The flower is like the glory of man. It's the best that we can do. So the very best that we might be able to produce is that flower. And he says, even that falls away. It falls away. It isn't going to continue. It can't continue. It's going to fall away. So what does it say to us about salvation apart from real salvation? That's through the Word of God. Well, it says that that's what happens. I mean, people may endure for a little moment, you know, for a little bit, but when the tribulation comes, like the stony ground here, or the thorny ground here, or the wayside here, when trouble starts coming, when difficulties arise, then we're gone. The flower, the very best that we have, is empty. It's vain, and so that's a pretty sad story. But he's saying to us, though, that the Word of God is very much distinct from that. And that the Word of God, when it truly takes root, has effect upon an individual in a saving way, then it lasts. It doesn't fade away. It doesn't fall away. It continues. And that relationship, we're the people of the Word. The Word of God has been put within us. It's the very life that we have in the Lord Jesus. That's the seed. That's the very life we have that sustains us, that keeps us. And the Word of God is that bread, in the sense of bread of life for us as God's people in walking with Him. So our very best, like the grass's flower, it falls away, falling away. Some people teach that a Christian, a child of God, can fall from grace, that they can lose their salvation. Well, if their salvation is like just the glory of man and the best that man can do, then yeah, they'll fall away. But if it's real and it's true and it is that which is like on the good ground where the preparation has been made, and where the Lord has done all the work and accomplishes the salvation, delivers a person from their sin, and as we read of here, they're born again of God and through the Word of God, then what happens is that the Word of God's, the effect of the Word of God is very distinct from the grass and the flower of the grass. It causes that we as God's people endure, that we as God's people do not fall away. It's the seed, God's word, endures as in us forever. Verse 25 says, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Our conception, as we talked about our conception with the word of God was by the preached gospel. It came to us through a human means, that God used to bring about an amazing change within us. But it was through the preached gospel. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. And so he's saying here that preached gospel is something that caused us as the Lord's people, as sinners, to be saved by His grace, to receive, to believe, to understand, and to understand the truth of God to the extent that now I've got the nucleus of an understanding of the Scriptures because I know what the gospel's all about. Because this book is a treasure full of truth relating to redemption, relating to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus and eternal redemption is through every page of this book. And we've got, as the Lord's people, we become a people of the book through the gospel. Notice he says, this is the word of God, the scriptures. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So we have the word as our own in a very personal way, individually, as to us, very specially to us, because of the gospel. The gospel preached the word to us. The gospel made the word of God to be real to us, to be valid to us, to be something that's within us and that abides within us, such that as God's people, it'll endure, and it endures forever, and we will never fall away as those who are truly the people of the Lord. And so the word of God, so what does that tell me? Well, it tells me if the word of God is so enduring, and I can tap into, by God's grace, as the Lord's people, I can abide in the word, and the word of God abides in me, and as a child of God, it's already saving me. As far as my salvation is concerned, as far as my standing with God, it is through the gospel truth of the word of God that I stand complete in the Lord Jesus. If that happens, and that has happened, then how powerful is it for my life to keep me and to lead me and to direct me and to give me hope and give me peace and to give me joy? One of the things salvation does is it causes that we be given that relief, that peace, that wonderful peace. One thing salvation does is it causes us to be a people of joy. We rejoice. We're thankful to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. But don't have anything else to be thankful for. I've always got that to be thankful for as a child of God. You always got the Word of God. Has, if it's done that for me, which it has, it's full of gospel truth, then as a child of God, as I continue to grow and as the Word of God tells me that I'm going to benefit from the Holy Scriptures, that the more I can take in the Word of God, the more it'll be have that special effect on me. It has a special effect on believers. So we're to abide through it. We abide in Christ through the Word of God. Verse 25 says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And we're abiding in it. We are witnessing, and we are being provided for in it, through it. It sustains us, and it gives us strength and encouragement as the Lord's people to go on. And so the word of God is effective in our lives, and the word, and it says, hey, it lives and abides forever. We're born again by it. Peter seems to be saying, you know, as God's people, this is an important part of what we have as the people of God. We have the Word of God. We're the people of the Word. So what do I do? Well, the Word of God shows me all through it, all these promises to me that say that whenever I come to this place in my life, that God will be there, that I can trust Him, I can depend on Him, and not just be in dismay. And so with the help of the Lord, Peter is saying, hey, you know what? You've been saved through this blessed book. It'll have a good effect on you. It will lead you. It'll direct you. It'll assure you. It'll give you more peace. It'll give you more confidence. And it seems like he'll be saying that a little bit more further on in this letter. But we look at it today. He introduces it here in this section that he's dealing with who we are as being an encouragement to the child of God going through troubles. The Word of God is so helpful to us. It is something that in the times of trouble, the times of difficulty, It is a fortress to us. It is a help to us. It is food. It is strength. It is everything we need as the children of God for our daily walk with the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness.